It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, it is. But not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Finish Strong Friday. We love it. Presented by SeatGeek. Just get that app on your phone. Use the code Tucker to get $20 off. We're getting emails from you guys all the time about getting crazy inexpensive seats for baseball games, which is awesome. We're glad you guys take advantage of it. It's a new week in terms of the Spread the Word winner, because we usually announce that on Wednesday. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. It takes less than a second to retweet Brian at RTF Podcast, or me at Ross Tucker NFL, or like the show on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. When I post it, all of those much appreciated and automatically enter you to win a little something something. Plus, the last show we do of the week, it's the sponsor confirmation email winner. And that winner, Anthony Pieri, who took advantage of the code we have at Draft on the Draft app. That's right. We haven't told you about the Draft app in several months, or draft.com. We will be telling you about it again at the end of August, but we haven't told you about it in a while. But that doesn't mean the code doesn't work. That doesn't mean we don't still have it posted on the sponsor page at rostucker.com, so that you can take advantage of it and get that special deal for you guys that are playing best ball. Speaking, by the way, of you guys playing best ball, we had not one but two Fantasy Feast podcasts this week. Make sure you check them both out now that we are going two times a week, which is awesome. So, Anthony, you're the winner. Email me, ross@rostucker.com. Let me know if you want a signed pass from the NFFC, a signed press pass, a signed card, a free month at Tuckheads, whatever you want. By the way, anybody now, Anthony did this a couple weeks ago, but Anthony, anybody now that sends in any sponsor confirmation, you get a free month of Tuckheads to join the team, join the crew, and see what's going on. Speaking of joining the team, Wes Welker, we get a chance to talk to him every year, I think, around this time. Last year, I think, was going to be his first year actually coaching, so I was eager to talk to him this week about, all right, now that he did it for a year, does he like it? What's it like? You know, what's he trying to learn? How do you coach different receivers? Does he really want to put in all those hours with all the money he's made? I love talking to former players that end up getting into coaching. I'm just so curious, because obviously that's something that I have, of course, considered, like I think a lot of guys do. Plus, the guy, you know, we got slot receivers now making close to $16 million a year, and this guy pretty much perfected it and was the first guy on the scene in a major, major way that really popularized it. Wes Welker is today's big show.
The big show.
Well, I think this has become almost like an annual thing to get a chance to talk to Wes Welker, thanks to the folks over at Dr. Leonard's office, the hair doctor. How is the hair going, Wes?
Dude, the hair is spectacular, man. I'm telling you, it's even filled in way nicer than I thought it would. So I'm very, very pleased with it. Dr. Leonard and his crew, they do an amazing job. So he might need some out there that he's got to go to.
Highly recommend people check it out at www.hairdr.com. And that's how we get a chance to talk to Wes seemingly every time around this time of year. When do you when does a coach have to report to training camp?
So I'm flying back on the 22nd, back to Houston. And then I believe the coaches were going in there on the 23rd. And then I believe the 24th we're flying to the Greenbrier for training camp.
Oh, that's right. You guys will be at the Greenbrier in West Virginia this year.
Right.
For those of you that don't know or remember, Wes is an assistant coach for the Houston Texans. This will be year two, Wes?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Awesome. So, I mean, you must be liking it if you're doing a second year.
Yeah, well, I survived the first one, so I figure if I survive the first one, I'll be able to survive the second one. So I'm just kind of plugging away and continuing to learn and, you know, just work my tail off and you know, kind of see what happens from there. But we'll I'm having fun with it. I'm enjoying it. It's fun being around the game and around the guys, and so far so good.
What are your hours like?
The good part is we've had, 5.5 weeks leading up to this July 22nd. So, I've been spending a lot of time with my family in the Bahamas. And then, but usually through the season, it's around like 6, to 11 p.m., sometimes later, but usually around then. And then Fridays usually get off around 2. So it's pretty much around the clock, but it's something I love and something I want to pursue. So having fun with it.
All right. So there's no part. What's that?
The hours go by pretty fast too. So
yeah, I bet.
When you're doing something you enjoy.
Do you? I mean, Wes, is there any party though that was like one of those nights, like a Monday night at midnight? You're like, dude, I played a long time. I made a bunch of dough. What am I doing right now? Like, why am I up at midnight? Like, why am I up at midnight 100%. Cutting up the third down package for the Colts right now?
Yeah, no, trust me. Yeah, 100%. I run into that at least like once, twice a week where I'm just like, what am I doing right now? But then, you get to the game and, you sit there and you work on something and, you feel like you made an impact and you got skin in the game and you're working towards something and working with other guys and, working towards a common goal. Like there's just nothing else out there like it. So it's a lot of work and it's hard. And you do run into those moments where you're like, what the hell's going on? What am I doing here? And then, but then you get those moments where it's like, you know what? This is actually pretty cool.
It's awesome. All right, have you made Houston your home then, I guess, Wes?
We have. Yeah, I got the whole family there. So, we've been in our place for about a year now.
That's awesome. And I know you're from Oklahoma, but that's not too far. It's kind of the same area of the country. Do you like being in sort of the Houston Southwest area?
Yes. Yeah. We love Houston, from Oklahoma and went to Texas Tech. So, being back in Texas and that region and closer to family and everything has been pretty cool. So we're enjoying our time.
All right. So, Wes, I have so many different questions about being a coach. So the one thing I've always wondered, I know you spend a lot of time with the receivers, and I guess I can try to think about what this would be like with offensive line, but I mean, you're really coaching guys that have different body types, different skills. Like, how much different do you coach DeAndre Hopkins versus, Will Fuller versus the guys you got playing in the slot or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, to tell you the truth, not too much. I think, obviously their skill sets are different. So you may talk to a guy about using his quickness more and then another guy using more his strength to get off the line of scrimmage or whatever it is. But, a lot of it's just attacking technique and there's different variations and little tricks and different things like that you can do within routes and, just trying to help out with some of those. But I worked with the receivers last year, and this year I'm actually working with the tight ends to try and, really learn like the run game and the protections and, learning more of that aspect of it than just being with the receivers. So, trying to learn all aspects of the game and continue to learn and develop that side of it.
No, that makes sense. And I would be the opposite. Whenever I talk to coaches, Wes, I talk to them about coverages and the route tree because that's the part that I don't really, that's not my area of expertise.
Exactly.
So I like to learn more about that stuff. I did one of your games last year. I can't remember which game it was, but I was so impressed by DeAndre Hopkins. As a fellow receiver, what is it about him? Because it doesn't look like he's moving that fast. I mean, he's a big guy, but he's not that big. Like, why is he so good?
Well, he's got a great frame to him. He's a big, strong guy. but the thing that makes him just elite is his hands. I mean, the guy has incredible hands. He's a very instinctive football player. He sees the field really well. He knows where the defenders are. And I think that's just kind of over time of seeing this coverage, that coverage, and kind of being able to anticipate things. You know, he's really kind of picked up that part of his game, and you know, just a very smart, heady player with just the most elite hands and body control of anybody I've ever seen.
So what were you thinking, Wes, when Jarvis Landry signed a deal this offseason for over $15 million a year as a slot receiver?
You know, I think he's a heck of a player, you know. I mean, and that's just kind of where the market's going, you know. So I it's a very important piece to the puzzle as far as an offense goes. You know, you got to be tough. You got to be smart. You know, there's a lot of different things to, you know, in the slot position that kind of come into play. And, you know, he's obviously done a really great job as, you know, from his rookie year on, and he's been very productive. So I think at the end of the day, yeah, could you find another guy in that spot? You could, but is it going to be as good and is it going to be as productive? You know, probably not. So you gotta spend the money to, you know, get guys like that. And you know, there's not as many as people think that are out there that can produce at that type of level.
Yeah, I guess what I was thinking about it was I wondered if there was either a little jealousy since when you were playing, or envious, I guess, that since when you were playing, slot receivers couldn't get that kind of money, or whether it was like a sense of pride since you were really one of the first kind of go-to big-time slot guys that now that position is now being rewarded at that level.
Yeah, no, dude, I think players should get as much money as somebody is willing to pay them. So whether, you know, I do agree with it or don't or whatever it is, you know, I'm happy for them. You know, that's, you know, I think it's a cool thing to see guys like that, you know, get paid. And, you know, yeah, I have some pride about it, but not, you know.
What,
I'm happy he got paid, but I could really care less either way.
So what, let's get to the coaching part of it and the stuff you're learning. Like, tell me something that you learned last season that you didn't really know before that you think is interesting, whether it's, you know, the run game or protections or any aspect of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a receiver, you know, I didn't really know anything about fronts. So, like, the front of the defense, whether it's an under or an over or a 3-4 or diamond or whatever it was, you know, all that was new to me. So, you know, I just thought, you know, a lot of times those guys just kind of lined up where they wanted to or what, you know, because as a receiver, it was like, okay, yeah, the coach told me to line up here, but I feel like for me, I'm just going to line up kind of a little bit more outside over here or whatever it is. Like they're very pretty precise on, you know, being at the shade or being at that three technique and, you know, how all that stuff kind of works together and how the blocking schemes change depending on what kind of front they're in. So it's it was kind of interesting picking up and learning about all that stuff that, you know, I never worried about because I was worried about, you know, the three guys that were basically kind of in front of me and seeing my triangle that I was playing at.
You know, fantasy football, Wes, exploded when you were in the league. When you were playing, I mean, I don't know how active you were on social media or whatever, or just when people, you know, friends and family or whatever, but how often did you hear about fantasy stuff as opposed to just, you know, who the Patriots or the Broncos, you know, how the game went,
right,
or who you were playing that weekend?
Oh, all the time. I mean, whether it was, you know, hey, you're on my team and I need you this week, or I'm playing against you, you know, can you go easy on them this week, or can you know, whatever it was, or even after the season, you know, I had you on my fantasy team, you won my fantasy league for me, you know, whatever it was always something. I mean, everybody was really, really kind of getting into it.
Have you ever played?
I have. Yeah. I still play in a league with a bunch of college buddies and, you know, we're not as active with it as, you know, we used to be, but you know, we still play.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So that's cool that you got like 5 weeks off, and I guess that kind of makes up for the grind. If you get, you know, 4 or 5 weeks totally to yourself, there aren't many jobs where you get that.
No, 100%. That's a big part of why you do it, you know, to get the, you know, 5 weeks and get that time off and just kind of get away. And, you know, it's good to kind of, you know, reboot your body and mind and, you know, get ready for the next season, because, you know, it's going to be a long haul.
Last question, Wes. I just want to ask you about Deshaun Watson. I mean, you played for a bunch of teams. You've been around a lot of quarterbacks. What was it about him last year that impressed you the most? Obviously, his numbers before he got hurt were ridiculous.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is his just calmness. You know, he doesn't really get too high. He never gets too low. He's just kind of, you know, he's just out there playing. And, you know, for a rookie to just go out there and not have really any nerves about him or anything and just go out there and, you know, do something he's been doing since he was, you know, a little kid. It was pretty impressive to see. And it was kind of cool to be around. And, you know, I think the other players kind of feel it too and feel that sense of just confidence and knowing that he's going to lead the team.
Wes, really appreciate the time. Enjoy talking with you every year. Maybe I'll do one of your guys' games this year. See you down the line. Encourage everybody to check
Absolutely.
Out www.hairdoctor, hairdr, I should say,
hairdr.com
for Dr. Leonard. And you got a couple more days left, Wes. Enjoy it before you go into the 6 month grind, my man.
I know. I'm just wondering if I'm going to make it back on the 22nd or not. But you know, I'm planning on it as of right now.
Thanks, Wes. Have a great year, man.
All right. Thanks, Ross.
So, if you guys are like me, there are certain things that really annoy you. My cable bill annoys me quite a bit, and my cell phone bill annoys me quite a bit, which is why I'm so happy to hear about Mint Mobile, the game-changing company that's taken everything wrong with big wireless and made it right. They don't want you to know that there's a way to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month at the big companies like AT&T and Verizon, but you can. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan. You can keep your old number along with all your existing contacts. There's no issue there. You know, no paying for unlimited data that you'll never use. You can do 2, 5, 10 gigabyte 4G LTE plans. And if you're not 100% satisfied, this is the key. Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money back guarantee. So here's what you need to know to be able to do this, all right? To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month plus free shipping on your Mint Mobile SIM card, go to mintmobile.com/Tucker. So they send you a SIM card, you put it in your phone, it's $15 a month, and you're good to go. That's mintmobile.com/Tucker. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month and get free shipping on your Mint Mobile SIM card at mintmobile.com/Tucker. mintmobile.com/Tucker.
Tuck's Takes.
Good morning, Ross. Lots to get to. Let's start with the anthem stuff again. Since Wednesday, we've had Titans D lineman Jarrell Casey saying he's going to protest the anthem no matter what the repercussions are. Dolphins are reportedly being able to fine or suspend players that protest. and the NFL and NFLPA putting out a joint statement about the Anthem policy and enforcement being at a standstill.
So I'll start with Jarrell Casey. The one thing I would say is, and Casey said, I don't care, I'll pay the fine. I'm gonna stand up for what I believe in anyway, and I'll pay the fine. I don't care. You know, I don't like when guys say things that they don't really mean. Because, number one, he doesn't know what the team's going to fine him yet. And nobody likes just giving away money. Nobody. Nobody likes being fined. So when someone says they don't care, I kind of laugh. I mean, what he's really saying is he's willing to pay that money. And more power to him, I guess. I hope he feels like he's getting the value out of it because, I mean, wouldn't you do more good with that money that you're being fined rather than kneeling during the anthem? Like, whatever point was being made during the anthem protest, I think it's been made. Wouldn't you be better off, Jarrell, taking the money and putting it to good use for the causes that are important to you in your community rather than paying the fine? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Not at all. So I just don't understand that. As for the Dolphins thing, this stuff really bothers me, Bri. This is a major problem in our society. Look, you have to have all of the policies and rules for the season in place by the start of the season. That's how it works. You got to have all that stuff in there, in the player's manual that you hand out on the first day. So the Dolphins had to put something in about the new anthem policy, so they put it under conduct detrimental. Well, somehow the Associated Press has, like, breaking: Dolphins to fine or suspend players that protest the anthem. Well, not necessarily. First of all, I highly doubt they'd suspend anybody. Especially not four games, which is what the report said. They're not fining. I mean, they're not suspending a player four games for protesting the anthem. And they're probably not even going to fine them. But they had to put that in there somewhere just so they had something on the books. And they threw it under the conduct detrimental section. This is a real problem. This is why I don't pay attention to politics or the news. I'm not really political. I'm not really into the news. I really don't even know what's real and what's not anymore. And I'm noticing that sometimes with the media. I'm noticing that now with the sports and the NFL media. And the problem is, the way to monetize when you're in the media, whether it's a podcast or a website or a TV show, you need an audience. You need more people to listen to the podcast. You need more people to watch your TV show. You need more people to read your article. You need more people to click on the link. And so CTE is kind of the same way. You never see many stories about being a little bit more balanced on the CTE and pointing out all the stuff we don't know. It's just headlines. Football leads to CTE, which kills. Look, you guys know I've had Chris Nowinski on. I don't think there's any question that repetitive hits to the head can lead to CTE. But there's also people that are getting CTE that never played a contact sport. And there's also a lot of people that presumably have CTE that never have an impact on that. You know, it never impacts them negatively. So you don't really see those headlines because the headline guy's job is to get people to click. So this Dolphins story is garbage, and I don't like that. I don't like that at all. As for the NFL and the NFLPA putting out the joint statement and putting the quote-unquote new anthem policy on a standstill, I think that's smart. I think they should try to work something out. I've told you, I think there's options. You could just have everybody stay in the locker room until the anthem's played. Or maybe you do what I said, the moment of silence for players' social causes in their communities that are near and dear to their heart, and then everybody stands for the national anthem. I think that'd be very powerful, very strong, but we'll see whether or not they take my advice.
Tuck's Takes. I saw this next headline come across on Wednesday after we finished recording. It's Darrell Revis retiring from the NFL after 11 seasons. And you had an interesting tweet about how he will be remembered.
Right. So Revis is a Western PA guy. He's an Aliquippa guy. Sean Gilbert, Mike Ditka, Ty Law, Tony Dorsett, and had an unbelievable career. There was a four-year period from 2008 through 2011 that you could argue that he could have been the defensive player of the year each of those years, and certainly was in, I think, probably the top five voting all those years. He had a great run. And then even after the torn ACL in 12, the Bucs didn't use him right in 13. 14, he's first team All-Pro with the Patriots again. Had a very good year. Got paid a ton of money from the Jets in 15. And towards the end of that year, he fell off. And then obviously things are in 16 were not good at all. Not good. I mean, he was bad. And whether he was dogging it or just had lost that many steps, I don't know. But it was not good. My question was, how will he be remembered? And to be honest, I'll remember him as a great corner, but I'll remember him more for a guy that leveraged his unique talent to maximize his financial security for his family more than anybody I've ever seen. $124 million for 11 years. The guy is basically, for a guy like me, that got cut a bunch and traded and never really had any leverage over the team, to see a guy to have that leverage and to use it was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Ducks takes. Other player news. Saints sign another running back, this time Shane Vereen. Bears linebacker Roquan Smith officially being a holdout. Bengals running back Joe Mixon losing 12 pounds this offseason. And the Ravens put lineman Marshall Yanda on the PUP as he recovers from shoulder surgery this offseason.
Yanda, by the way, and the point I wanted to make there is the guy had a broken ankle and missed most of the season last year. He's rehabbed from the broken ankle, and now he's coming off of shoulder surgery. I mean, he's in his 30s. He's made a lot of money. He's a Hall of Fame player. And just to put in perspective a little bit what these guys go through, and just for you to think about that, I wrote this on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. I'm always, always betting on the guys like Mixon that lose weight over the guys that gain weight. And look, sometimes, you know, Christian McCaffrey, I think, put on some weight, and I think that'll probably be good for him. But in general, if I had to pick, I'm picking the guy that lost weight to improve his performance more than anybody that gained weight. Roquan Smith, they need to get that figured out because I think they want him to be the signal caller on the defense, you know, inside linebacker, one of the leaders of the team. And Vereen is kind of Alvin Kamara gets hurt insurance. That's kind of my thoughts on Vereen. That would be my guess with the Saints signing him. They just want to make sure they're covered there. Speaking of being covered, dude, Dollar Shave Club has you covered. I love them. I've been a member for, I don't know, 5 years now. I shave with a pretty much a new razor every week. It's sweet. It's awesome. It gives me a great shave. It's a no-brainer. Their shave butter is amazing. Their One Wipe Charlies come in very handy because they're like mobile. You can take them with you rather than just like those big packs you get at the store. You can take the One Wipe Charlies with you, which is nice if you know you're going somewhere for a weekend or even a day or whatever. You got to have butt wipes. I'm just telling you, you got to have butt wipes. It makes a big difference. You need the wetness. Just toilet paper is not enough. I don't want to get too graphic on you. I'm just saying you need the moist. You need the wetness. Here's a great way to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products. For just $5, that's it. You can get their Daily Essential Starter Set. So it comes with body cleanser, which is cool, the mandatory One Wipe Charlies, their amazing butt wipes, the world-famous shave butter, way better than any shaving cream ever, and their best razor, the 6-Blade Executive. Keep the blades coming for a few more bucks a month and add in shampoo, toothpaste, or anything else you need for the bathroom. Check it all out at dollarshaveclub.com/Tucker. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Tucker.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
email address, ross@rostucker.com. And we love your emails. We read and respond to all of them. And that means you took advantage of a sponsor, which means you get a free month over at Tuckheads. What do you got, Bri?
All right. Hey, Ross. First, let me say thank you for selecting me as the Spread the Word winner. Second, thanks a lot for your podcasts. I do have a question at the end of this, but I do have to say or express the following. I'm from South Jersey area, and to make a long story short, your podcast at ESPN helped me get through a job I didn't care for and motivated me to even do my own podcast. I only lasted 3 years of doing it, but I can say it was you and two other podcasts that motivated me to do it, and it was one of the most fun projects I ever did in my life. So thank you. Now, here's my question. I know skill and size are immensely important, but what type of quarterback would be your favorite to block for? Like an Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Big Ben, etc.? Or could you combine attributes to make the perfect one for an O-lineman, or there's someone else that you would prefer? That is from Roddy.
Roddy Hill, a.k.a. Dat Moss, a.k.a. Dat Moss, a.k.a. That Most. A lot of a.k.a.s for Roddy Hill. And Roddy, really, really appreciate all of the kind words. And anytime you guys tell me that I somehow motivated you or inspired you or helped you get through a tough time or a job you didn't like, it's extremely humbling. Extremely humbling. It means so much. Just like meeting so many of the Tuckheads and the listeners this past weekend at the NFFC was pretty special as well. I feel like I've been asked this question before, and the answer is always like a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning type. I'd put Drew Brees in there as well. Because if it's a scrambler, you don't really get credit for them doing something great. You know, you don't really get credit for a scrambler running around and then throwing the ball. You don't get credit for that. They just say, hey, you should have blocked your guy. What are you doing? You do get credit, though, when the quarterback doesn't get touched. And that's what happens when guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady get the ball out as quickly as they do. Brees as well. Or even when they move in the pocket subtly as much as they do. You know, as long as you stay on your guy, it's like you didn't really give up a pressure or whatever. So, without question, it's a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning type because they help linemen get paid, and that's not necessarily the case, you know, for the more of the scrambling type because you don't get credit for that. They still say, it's a pressure, Tucker, come on. What are you doing? Good question, though. I love the email questions. We'll obviously get to a bunch next week. If you didn't get a chance to check out the Even Money podcast this week, Steve Fezzik and I feel really strongly about a couple of bets in the AFC East, really strongly. So if you're looking to make a bet for the first time with, you know, the expansion of legalized sports betting, check out this week's Even Money podcast. We've got two, really three, that we feel real, real good about. Other than that, you guys know the deal. You take advantage of any of our sponsors now. You get a free month over at Tuckheads.com to check it out, which is awesome. You know all about the Amazon banner ad on the homepage, which we love. Hope you guys all have a terrific weekend. If you get a chance to rate and review the show, that means quite a bit and usually takes very little time, and that can count as a sponsor confirmation because we love it that much. And other than that, I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.